Sweet and Swing, served to you by the Wine Cellar.
A very good evening to you. Welcome along again to Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. My name's Howard Kane. A pleasure as always to have your company this very evening. And what have we got? Some Madame Tussauds Dance Orchestra. More of our gold standards. Some Toots Thielemans. And to get us going, how about the Mills Brothers?
Who sang a sort of Indian Idaho to the people passing by?
The Pinto spent his time a swishing flies, and the Navajo watched the lazy skies, and very rarely did they ever rest their eyes
on the people passing by. One day they went a walking along the railroad track. They were swishing, not a looking. Toot, toot.
They never came back. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the summer sun decides to settle low, a fly sings an Indian hidey-ho
to the people passing by.
Across the alley from the Alamo lived a pinto, a pony, and a Navajo, who used to bake friolis in cornmeal dough
for the people passing by.
They thought that they would make some easy bucks by washing their friolis in Duz and Lux, a pair of very conscientious clucks
to the people passing by. Then they took this cheap vacation. The shoes were polished bright. No, they never heard the whistle. Toot, toot.
They're clear out of sight. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the starlight beams its tender glow, the beans go to sleep and then there ain't no dough
for the people passing by. One day they went a-walking along the railroad track. They were swishing, not a-looking. Toot, toot.
They never came back. Oh,
across the alley from the Alamo, when the summer sun decides to settle low, a fly sings an Indian hidey-ho to the people passing by. Across the alley from the Alamo.
Across the valley from the Alamo. You know, whenever I hear the word Alamo, I always think to a game of Pictionary I played years ago. Remember that game? Where you had the paper and you got a clue and you played in teams. One person took it in turns to draw and the other person had to guess. And you sort of drew a card and then you had a little egg timer and then say, right, Alsatian or church or whatever the case may be. Sheep. And you'd have to try and draw it. You weren't allowed to say anything, although you'd be disqualified. You had to draw it on your little pad. You had 1 minute, I think, and your partner had to try and guess. No hand signals, no talking. And I remember playing years and years and years ago with my then other half and a couple of other family members, including my late Uncle Alan, one of the maestro's next youngest brothers, or the next eldest brother after him, I think. A wonderful chap. Uncle Al, everybody's pal, as he was known in the family. And a great eccentric and a wonderful academic at Oxford as well, an Oxford Don. And the clue was, or at least the word we were trying to do was, yes, you've guessed, the Alamo. How'd you draw the Alamo with just 1 minute and a pencil and a small piece of paper? Well, we didn't have much of a clue. I was playing with someone else, I think. My other half was playing with another family member, with Uncle Al, in fact. And as we got going, we didn't know. And I was trying to draw, if I was drawing indeed, things like cowboys and Indians and forts and such like, getting nowhere fast. Other people were doing something similar, I think. And after about 30 seconds, Uncle Al said, "The Alamo?" Much to his partner's delight. And everyone said, "How on earth did you draw that?" And she showed her pad and she'd drawn nothing whatsoever. And that whilst you're not allowed to talk and you're not allowed to use signals and such like, there's nothing to stop you listening to what everyone else is shouting at in the room. And that's exactly what Uncle Al had done. So he'd sort of just listened. Hadn't seen anything on the pad, but had heard cowboys, Indians, war, fort, something, and just thought, yeah, the Alamo. And got it right. There you go. Mills Brothers had a number two hit with that back in the day, 1947, I think that was. They went to number two in the US charts with The Alamo, great number. It went on for many, many years in a couple of different variations, the Mills Brothers. We did a little series on them a while back, didn't we, I think. But 1947 for that one with their number two in the Valley of the Alamo. Nice number, don't think I've ever heard that one for a wee while, in the very least, in any case. How are we all? Are we sort of gearing up as we have our pell-mell run towards Christmas? And it is getting more that way, isn't it? I think we're almost into genuine Christmas territory now, isn't it? When you get to late November, then I think I've seen quite a few Christmas trees now, and fair dinkum. Frankly, I don't mind when people put them up. If it brings them joy, a little bit of light and colour to the dark, wet, windy winter evenings, good luck to you, is what I say. If you're paying the bill and you like it, get on with it. Enjoy it. I usually enjoy seeing some lights driving home, and you're getting more and more as we get closer to December, and then once you're in December, well, it's definitely fair game, I think, isn't it? You'd have to be a hardcore Christmas denier not to think once you're in December that you can't start thinking about Christmas. I used to love the advent calendar, but that's another story for another day, I would say. Yeah, we've got a bit of... I found this one, actually, after rescuing the records from Music Man Towers. Toots Thielemans, Jazz in Paris, Blues pour Flûteur. Not been opened. Still, I'm going to have to try and get it out of this. Don't even hear that, but still in its wrapper. Still in its cling film, and the cling film is very clingy. So I'll see if I can get it out, as it were, while you listen to this.
An art with Betty Coed. Her station quite depends upon her charms. She gets the men in rushes by well-cultivated blushes, and she's happy with a fellow on each arm. Betty Coed has lips of red for Harvard. Betty Coed has eyes of Yale's deep blue. Betty Coed's a golden head for Princeton. Her dress, I guess, is black for all Purdue. Betty Coed's a smile for Pennsylvania. Her heart is Dartmouth's treasure, so it is said. Betty Coed is loved by every college boy, but I'm the one who's loved by Betty Coed. She made a wreck of Carnegie Tech and all of its engineers. She did the same at old Notre Dame. Her line is good for years. Roguish eyes, telling lies, breathing sighs. Thank you. Betty Coed has lips of red for Cornell. Betty Coed has eyes of navy blue. Betty Coed's a golden head for Amherst. Her dress, I guess, is white for Georgia, too. Betty Coed's a smile for old Northwestern. Her heart is Texas treasure, so it is said. Betty Coed is loved by every college boy, but I'm the one who's loved by Betty Coed.
Is it a novelty number? Betty Coed, yes. It's a tongue-in-cheek, to say the very least, isn't it? And more than vaguely suggestive about Betty Coed. However, he has got the girl. He being, of course, Rudy Vallee, there with his Connecticut Yankees. Rudy Vallee, one of the first, I suppose, pin-ups, was he? I don't know. He's certainly a handsome-looking chap and was, I think, seen in many ways as being one of the first of the sort of the big crooners. And yeah, I don't know, would you put his picture on the wall? I dare say people might well have done. Started out playing drums and saxophone in his band in New England at school. And then from 1924, for a year or so, he played with the Savoy Havana Band at the Savoy Hotel in London, where band members apparently discouraged his attempts to become a vocalist. Not discouraged, however, he went back to the States, played at the University of Maine, got a degree in philosophy from Yale. So no fool he, by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think you just walk into Yale, either then or now, and played with the Yale Collegians. But went on also to become a cartoonist. You're getting the picture. He's another one of these polymaths. Very intelligent, a good singer, a good musician, could do pretty much everything. And then after graduation, he formed that band we heard there, Rudy Vallee and the Connecticut Yankees, having named himself after Rudy Vidoft. I've never heard of Rudy Vidoft, but maybe you have, I don't know. He was actually born, by the way, he wasn't called Rudy Vallee, he was born Hubert, which I think is a fantastic name, I've always rather liked Hubert. Hubert Prior Vallee, but went on to be a Rudy. Changed his name to Rudy Vallee. Vallee, I think sometimes you hear him pronounced, but it is Vallee, I believe. And yes, he became one of the first of the crooners, like your Bings and your Franks and such like. They needed big voices to fill the theatres before microphones became very effective. A lot of them had soft voices that were suited to radio. The microphones had a sort of a sensuous interior, they were sometimes described as. But anyway, he had a great success with that one. Wherever he went, he was popular, and that song, I think, is maybe talking about himself. Flappers, 1920s Flappers, that is, used to pursue him, it said, wherever he went. His live appearances sold out. He was the sort of, I don't know, name your favourite pop star of today, I suppose. Ed Sheeran or something like that. But I'm just looking here. It's contrary to popular belief, it's claimed, he did not have screaming girls at his appearances. Really? The Flappers didn't scream? I'm amazed. According to one reviewer in 1929, at the microphone, Rudy is a truly romantic figure, faultlessly attired in evening dress. I don't know whether they do that anymore. I don't think they do they? I mean, Ed Sheeran seems like a nice chap, but I've never seen him in evening dress when he's been performing. He pours softly into the radio's delicate ear a stream of mellifluous melody. They don't want the reviews like that anymore. He appears to be coaxing, pleading, and at the same time, adoring the invisible one to whom his song is attuned. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? But like everyone, he did have his detractors. Radio Review, a magazine, a fan magazine, held a contest in which people wrote letters explaining his success. The winning letter, written by a man who disliked Vallee's music, said, Rudy Vallee is reaping the harvest of a seed that is seldom sown this day and age. Love, the good-looking little son of a gun, really and honestly loves his audience and his art. He loves to please listeners, loves it more than he does his name in the big lights and his mug in the papers. He loved all those unseen people as passionately as a voice can love long before they began to purr and care with their 2 cent stamps. You can't please all of them all of the time, as they say. What a great sound. Real character. Right. I have managed to get Toots Thielemans out of the cover whilst we were doing all that. Jazz in Paris. Yes, I found this box set. A box set of music, which I think my sister must have given to the old maestro back in the day. Some of it she's listened to, and some of it she hasn't. So we're going to do so now on his behalf. Toots Thielemans' Blues pour Flûteur. And how about his version of Willow, Weep for Me? Thank you.
Sweet and Swing. Stockists of the largest range of wines, beers, spirits and cocktails on the island.
Bit of a twofer there for you. Why not? Why not? With our friends from the Wine Cellar in between. Don't forget, of course, it is the place to go at this time of the year as we head towards Christmas. If you were looking for, well, pretty much anything, realistically. It could be mixers. It could be gins. You could be looking for a nice Armagnac for a present. I like Armagnac, just saying. Champagne or fizz, of course. Everyone wants a glass of that, surely, on Christmas Day morning, normally. Maybe a non-alcoholic version of something or other. You don't have to drink the alcohol. Lots of lovely non-alcoholic versions of things now. Beers, wines, of course. A nice wine, surely. If only on that day of the year, splash out a nice bottle of wine on Christmas. They're all there. They are all there. So take your pick. As you say, get down and find out. So, yeah, a little bit of a twofer. Toots Thielemans, as he was. Like I said, from a little box set called Jazz in Belgium, I think it was, or something along those lines. A nice box set, half of which have never been opened. So I thought, now's the time. Oh, tell a lie, there's two box sets. There's Jazz in Belgium, this one's Jazz in Paris. We haven't got round to Jazz in Belgium yet. That's a delight to come. Some of those aren't opened either. Jazz in Paris, Toots Thielemans. Blues pour Flutter. And it gets even harder to pronounce the rest of the band because I don't know them. A lovely rendition of Willow, Weep For Me, recorded in the early 1960s, just before I came into existence, about 1961. It's quite late for us. Toots on guitar there, and George Arvanites on piano, Roland Lobligeois on double bass, and Philippe Combel on the drums, or batterie, as they are in French. Batterie, I like the sound of that. Give them a good batter, as they say. And then after that, Drumming Man, of course. Drumming Man, the Drumming Man. Gene Krupa and his orchestra with Irene Day taking the vocals from a little bit earlier, that one. That was over stateside, Chicago, in November, this time of the year, 1939. So I think just after war had broken out, that would it not? Not in the States, though, at that stage. You are, of course, listening to Sweet and Swing with myself, H. Lovely to have your company as ever. And as ever, if you have anything you'd like to hear, do get in touch. HowardCain@manxradio.com. And we are podcast now, of course. Podcast, yes. You can go to the Manx Radio site and listen there. You can download, you should subscribe to it via Manx Radio or your usual podcast providers. We're on all the usual platforms, Google and Spotify and Apple Tunes, etc. You name it. Apple, blah, 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 blah. I think we're on most of the major ones in any case. Or just go to the Manx Radio site. It's even easier. And you might find lots of other interesting Manx Radio podcasts there as well. So that's my recommendation. All sorts of cracking podcasts going in there with music and speech and weekday shows and lots of things. Specials, one-offs, blah, 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 blah. Go and check it out, is all I can say. Just go to the Manx Radio website, click onto podcasts, that'll all come up, you can take a look. And if you like the sound of them, you can listen to them anytime you like. And if you want to be up to date with them, you subscribe and they'll just notify you when the next one's there. How easy is that? And we do now have Sweet and Swing there, and popular already, I would like to say. And also its sister programme, Jumping In, of course, with Brother Chris. The Cats in the Hats goes out on Saturday evening as podcast as well. Check that one out if you like something a bit more modern or fancy dipping your toe in the water of modern jazz. Why not? It's not as scary as it seems. All worth checking out. But yeah, so wherever you're podcasting or whether you're listening live, why not drop me a line? Howard Cain, C-A-I-N-E @manxradio.com with some thoughts or some ideas. Would you like more Gene Krupa? Would you like more of the Mills Brothers? Do you like more Irene Day? None of the above. You've got a favourite elsewhere we haven't heard for ages. Or maybe you haven't heard for ages. If we can help out, we will. Or perhaps an idea for a little series of someone we could sort of profile a little bit over a few weeks. Any of the above is welcome. Or just a request. Howard Cain, C-A-I-N-E @manxradio.com. Or, of course, you can drop me a line on a postcard if you're not really that au fait with the old email. I don't know, not everyone is. So if you prefer a postcard or a Christmas card at this time of the year, Howard Cain, and it's Sweet and Swing. That's Manx Radio, of course, Broadcasting House. It's Douglas Head, which is in Douglas. It's the Isle of Man, of course. Where else would you find Manx Radio? And that postcode, IM15BW. How about that? That would do nicely, wouldn't it? Be lovely to hear from you. It'll just be you and the night and the music.
Will we be one? After the night and the music are done, until the pale light of dawning and daylight, our hearts will be throbbing guitars. Morning may come without warning and take away the stars. If we must live for the moment, love till the moment is through. After the night and the music die, will I have you.
A classic, always one of my favourites, that You and the Night and the Music. A lovely modern version done by Paul Motion, the drummer used to play with Bill Evans' trio, of course, and he did a whole series of albums playing the great American standards with a modern twist. Terrific they are too, worth checking out if you ever fancy something a little bit different, and they're not too scary, I promise. You and the Night and the Music, DeBroy Summers with Jerry Fitzgerald taking the vocals there. Another character who sort of shot to the top and then disappeared again pretty rapidly. Very popular before the war. Hailed from Toronto, came over to Britain before the war started in mid-1930s and recorded with the likes of Eddie Carroll, Sidney Kite, Louis Levy, Sidney Lipton, Ray Noble, Lou Prager, and, of course, as we heard him there, with DeBroy Summers. He also appeared in the 1937 Hitchcock thriller Young and Innocent. I don't know what he did there. If you know the film, you might know. I'll have to, if I see it any time, I must look out and see what he played. But he also recorded quite a bit under a pseudonym, but I can't tell you what that is off the top of my head. I've had a quick check in the Book of Words, England's second book of British dance bands, singers and smaller bands, and it doesn't list what his pseudonym was. But that's the way he was. Sadly, not the happiest of endings in many ways. He served during the war as a squadron leader. Amazingly, and perhaps luckily, survived the entire war, married, went back to Canada, but died pretty young, actually. He was only in his 50s. Quick rise to the top, your moment in the sun, and then sadly, I like to think he had some happy times, but didn't last as long as I'm sure he would have liked. Which always makes me think, like any of these programmes, you've got to enjoy your moment in the sun while it's there, because you never know when the sun might fade. Gold standards time. Yeah, American talking about standards. We've been doing this for some time, isn't it? Gold standards, great American songbook songs. All the favourites. And here is the wonderful Billie Holiday.
Above all, I want my arms. come to me, come to me, do. My sweet embrace above you. I love all the many charms about you. I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to mama, come to mama, do. My sweet embrace above you.
No, that's a very sudden cut off, isn't it? They might have let the piano chord finish. Lordy, sweet embraceable you, the unmistakable voice of Billie Holiday with our gold standard. Great songs from the American Songbook for this week. That was pretty good. Yeah, lovely. Always like a little bit of Billie. What a voice. Singing in all sorts of different arrangements, but you can't mistake her for anyone else. Now then, I promised you a little bit of Madame Tussauds. I think I did anyway. Dance orchestra. And yeah, we're going to have it rocking in rhythm. What shall we have? Oh, how about this one? Yes, it's nice. I don't know, I actually don't know whether I know this one or not. You're Still in My Heart. I think of that all the time here on Sweet and Swing. Hope you think the same as well.
You found a new love and forgot your true love. Whoever you love, you're still in my heart. Believe me, you're still in my heart. The night we parted and said we were through, I didn't mind somehow. My heart started to cry out for you. Things are so different now. I can't caress you, other arms possess you. But heaven bless you, you're still in my heart. Thank you.
Still in My Heart, Madame Tussaud's Dance Orchestra, directed by Stanley Barnett. And I think that was the needle coming off the 78. We haven't got a 78 player here still in the studio. We've still got a record player. I keep threatening to bring in some vinyl and play it, but just don't know how much hard work it's going to be. I'll have to think about it for the new year, I think. That'll be the way. So, yes, who they then? Madame Tussauds, who knew? Well, you might do, I don't know. Madame Tussauds had their own dance orchestra. Well, they did. Madame Tussaud, of course, herself came over in the very early 1802, beginning of the early years of the 19th century, during the Napoleonic Wars. She managed to get out from France. Don't know if she wanted to escape or what she did, but she stayed with her waxwork figures for 27 years, touring around England, Scotland, Ireland. Don't think she came to the Isle of Man, to the best of my knowledge, exhibiting them to great success, and eventually, of course, built a permanent exhibition building in Baker Street, and then in the late 1880s moved to where they are still now, in Marylebone Road. She died in 1850. The business carried on very nicely, thank you. Big fire in 1925 when her two sons were running the business. But it reopened again 3 years later. I assume all the waxworks melted, I don't know. But there again, I suppose they had to replace them on a regular basis anyway to keep them up to date. And yeah, you go there now, you will still find a queue, as there probably was in 1802. It's the British way of life, isn't it? However, by the 1930s, when dancing and the dance bands were all the rage, a restaurant and small dance floor was provided as part of the exhibition facilities. And these, you reached through the doors to the right of the main vestibule, and the patrons that could then recover from the Chamber of Horrors, everyone's favourite spot surely, over a table d'hôte dinner served from 6 p.m. through till 9:30 p.m. for 3 shillings and 6 pence. Not bad, eh? They could also dance from 8 through until 11, so, you know, you could have your supper and then dance away for the rest of the evening without any extra charge. Those were the days, wasn't it? A first-class orchestra, all attired in well-cut green lounge suits. And who were they? They were the boys we've just heard. The Stanley Barnett and the Madame Tussauds Dance Orchestra. Stanley himself, great musician, played tenor sax and violin, and played at Regent Palace in London as well, and also played over in Germany and Scandinavia. But sounded good, didn't they? Not too bad. Very nice indeed. We'll play a bit more of those one of these days. Someone's actually coloured that in. I don't know who's done that. Wouldn't imagine it was Jim back in the day. I don't think he was a big colourer, but someone's coloured in that handwritten label for that one. Very nice indeed. Said we were going to have a bit of Stan Getz here on Sweet and Swing. We liked a bit of Stan from time to time, and of course he did like his bossa and such like, brought all those Latin rhythms very much to the fore, to great popularity in the 1950s and 60s, I think it would be thereabouts. So how about this one, Stan Getz with his big band Bossa Nova, Mana di Carnaval. Thank you. Well, a great ending. Stan Getz with the big band Bossa Nova. And lovely sound, actually, when he was very much in that Latin feel that he had in the 50s and 60s. And a huge success, as I say. It really sort of brought that whole Latin sound over to this side of the Atlantic in many ways and drove a real craze for that sort of music for quite some time. A Mañana de Carnaval, a morning of the carnival. Actually, the theme from Black Orpheus, the movie. I've got Vince Guaraldi, I think, scored a lot of music for that, I seem to recall. And Gary McFarland, who wrote a lot of the music, said, when I saw this movie, I was deeply touched by the gentle melody in keeping with this mood. It's Jim Hall's treatment of the introduction on unamplified guitar. Yes, lovely sound at the beginning there. Jim Hall, fantastic player. Following Stan's statement of the theme, there's an interlude in 5-4 leading into the guitar solo. Take five. Did you notice the 5-4? Don't know whether I did, actually, but I wasn't paying attention that much. Good sound, quite modern sound. Lovely voicings as well by Jerry there in the orchestra. Recorded in 1962. Stan, of course, on tenor sax. We had the big band featuring the likes of Clark Terry on trumpet, Bob Brookmeyer, another regular on this programme off and on over the years, on trombone, Babe Clark, wonderful name, on clarinet, Hank Jones, the great Hank Jones, Elvin Jones's brother, one of the many, and Tommy Jones was with him, Hank, Elvin, and there was the other one. Anyway, you know who I mean, the Jones family, all great musicians as well. Jim Hall, wonderful Jim Hall, on guitar. The cabasa, the one, that lovely, I've got a cabasa, you know, those lovely beads on metal, playing cabasa. Carmen Costa, and also Jose Paulo on tambourine. Yes, we'll keep that one in the bag for another time, perhaps. Maybe another evening. Maybe even an enchanted evening. Enchanted evening. Well, there's always an enchanted evening, really, isn't there, on a Friday night here on Manx Radio, because you know what it means. It means it's going to be sweet and swing. And if that doesn't enchant you, what does? It's more or less it for another one, though. Joe Loss. Would you recognise Joe Loss there? I don't know that I'd pick that up. Nice way to end, though. Don't forget, any thoughts, and we do like to hear them, honestly, howardcaine@manxradio.com. howardcaine, all lowercase, at Manx Radio, M-A-N-X Radio, all one word, .com. Any thoughts? Or choices? Or someone you haven't heard? Get in touch. Lovely to hear from you. Okay, that's it. Look after yourselves. Same time, same place, next week. Cheerio.